This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. And KNSS is always here for you. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886. And tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Trump administration paused $175 million in federal funding to the University of Pennsylvania over its inclusion of transgender athletes in women's sports. Fox Business exclusively reported this on Wednesday morning. The Ivy League university now stands to risk losing all of its federal funding amidst an investigation into potential Title IX violations. With us now to provide firsthand insight into the implications of this decision and the ongoing Title IX investigation is Paula Scanlon. She's a former UPenn swimmer, a former teammate of transgender male swimmer Leah Thomas. You'll remember him. He is the one who was a mediocre swimmer on the men's team until he decided to switch and pretend to be a female and then ended up winning a women's championship. She is an outspoken advocate for women's sports. Paula, appreciate you joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Absolutely. A pleasure to be on with you this evening.
So, Paula, the administration paused almost $200 million in federal funding to UPenn and a number of other schools, some of which have already caved. I saw the University of Maine has already kind of caved on this. What does this mean moving forward? I guess it's what you have to say, follow the Benjamins, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think really what this comes down to, though, is that the Trump administration is really just sending the message enough is enough. And I'm beyond grateful for them. I mean, the change in pace that we've seen from what we saw the 4 years prior to this is, I mean, night and day, truly. But again, I think that ultimately it is the only way to really send that message. These people don't respond to anything other than money. These universities are hemorrhaging money. It's so expensive to go to college. It is wise to hit them by pulling funding, by saying, hey, yeah, we are going to pull your federal funding. And no, you can't allow men in women's sports. You can't disobey this executive order. And again, I hope to see the Trump administration continue to do even more of this.
It's sad that they're having to go to this extreme, to this extent, in order to get them to actually do the right thing, because this really shouldn't be about funding. It should be about fairness. But these schools, if they're not going to comply, I guess ultimately you have to hit them where it hurts.
Definitely. And I mean, this entire issue is really just so sad that the universities are really doubled down on this. And a lot of people say, oh, well, the University of Pennsylvania, in their formal statement, they said, oh, well, we were just following the NCAA guidelines. And sure, you know, you can try to make that argument, you can try to blame somebody else, but what I know from my experience at the University of Pennsylvania is they were propping up Leah Thomas. They were posting on their social media accounts about him. They were highlighting his accomplishments. And on top of all of that, they nominated him for NCAA Woman of the Year. These universities stood by this. They were not just, oh, we were following the rules in the NCAA. They loved this. They were the ones who brewed this ideology that made everyone try to believe that men could be women and women can be men and no one knows what a man is and no one knows what a woman is. And again, I think that they deserve to hurt from that. And to be honest, the $175 million, well, it's a great first step. The total endowment of the University of Pennsylvania is over $22 billion. I mean, it's really even a small drop in the bucket of the endowment and all the money that they're spending. So, again, I mean, they are the problem here, and I think that they deserve to be completely restructured and sent to the ground and try again and start it all over.
We're talking with former UPenn swimmer Paula Scanlon. Paula, a biological boy in California just crushed the girls' triple jump record by, and I'm not exaggerating here, by 8 feet. This is a male who won the long jump and the sprint medley relay on his way to then winning the women's state championship. So this is, it's still happening. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal experience at UPenn? Because you were, I've talked to Riley Gaines. We've had her on the show a number of times, and I absolutely love Riley. But you were actually a teammate of Leah Thomas, and you know, it was one thing for Riley. You had to endure the one experience with him. You had to endure this for an entire season, correct?
Yeah, and in fact, we actually originally found out about Thomas joining our team back in 2019. And so, you know, when I told the story to my friends and family, many describe it as a slow-moving train wreck. And again, we thought for so long, again, we were announced to it that he had to wait a little bit before he could join the women's team formally, and then COVID delayed it even more. I truly believed in these institutions. I believed the University of Pennsylvania would say no. I believed the Ivy League would say no. I believed the NCAA would step up and change their policy. And nobody did. And so in our experience, and I mean, I've talked about this in great lengths and even on this show, but the university told us if we objected to this male athlete being on our team and being in our locker room, and by the way, this is not once or twice, it was 18 times per week we were on the team, they were forcing us to undress with this man, fully grown, fully intact male. And they told us that we were the problem. They said you'd never be able to find a job. They said we were bigoted, we were hateful. They even called us racist. And they also told us, and the last thing, which was so scary, is they said, if you still have a problem, please seek help. Here is the number for psychological services. And they told us to go make an appointment with the on-campus counselor.
I mean, that's, and you've told me that before, and I still find that hard to believe, that you were the ones that were supposed to seek counseling as opposed to this male who's pretending to be something he's not. It's just, it's unfathomable. I'm so glad that we finally have an administration that's standing up to this nonsense. Do you think, I mean, are we finally at a point now where we've passed the Rubicon, where we're finally starting to see actions from an administration, maybe legal precedent being set to put an end to this nonsense?
You know, I hope so, and I think that this issue, and I you know, having dealt with this issue for many, many years now, I think when we first started talking about this, it wasn't as popular. I think even maybe when the first time I came on this show, probably about 2 years ago, it was less popular. It was less mainstream. There was less awareness to this. It was less commonplace happening across the country, and I think we really now are in the time and place where this is, majority of people agree with this. Even the New York Times did polling, 79% of Americans agree that this issue is wrong, right? They agree that it's wrong that Leah Thomas is on our team. But what's more interesting about that poll is in that same study, it's 67% of Democrats. 67% of people who probably voted for Kamala Harris don't believe in this. And so I think that's really shown us where the tide is. And I do think ultimately lawsuits will need to win out. I'm disappointed that the Senate wasn't able to pass this. I mean, none of the Democrats voted over, which is wild, again, giving 67% of Democrats don't even agree. But I think we really have changed the culture with this issue. I think it's commonplace to talk about now. And again, the majority of Americans are on our side. So when this is taken to the courts, hopefully we will start to see some wins.
So let me, and I know I've got to let you run, but let me kind of come off of that. You gave over 70% of Americans, 69% of Democrats, and yet I sent you the link to the City of Wichita story, where the City of Wichita just last week voted for the first time to recognize Transgender Day of Visibility. You know, why are cities in a red state still doing this when these issues are so unpopular with voters?
See, that's the problem with the Democrats and why they've all, you know, why they lost in this past election, why I think the main reason they did lose is that they're being held hostage by this small minority group of people that are very, very loud, right? So what I just said, 67% of Democrats in polling don't believe in this, but 100% of Senate Democrats didn't vote that way, 100% of them. And if you look at the House of Representatives, only two Democrats came over, and over 200 Democrats still said, yeah, it's fine, let the boys play the girls' sports. So I think that they need to figure that out. I think that's what we're seeing, is that there's a huge disconnect between these representatives. And again, not even just on the federal level, but yeah, like what you're saying, I mean, we're seeing those votes happen also at state legislatures. And I think what you guys are seeing locally is probably that case, where there's someone really loud in the community that really wants this, and they don't know how to say no, and they've based their entire platform on identity politics. And unfortunately, it's the reason that they're going to keep losing if they continue to stick by this.
Yeah, that's it. It's loud. It's a very fringe, very small minority, but you're right, it's a loud minority. Paula, I appreciate you. If folks want to connect with you, I know I follow you on X. They can find you at Paula Y. Scanlan, and that's S-C-A-N-L-A-N, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I post updates there.
I appreciate you, my friend. Thank you again. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
We'll take a quick break, and then Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute will be with us to explain why so many Kansas counties and cities are sitting on massive cash reserves. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show, live from Topeka, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Broadcasting live from Topeka, thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. Want to remind you as well about the good folks at Americans for Prosperity. If you're looking for ways to get involved, in particular if you want to help out with the efforts to educate voters about the upcoming Supreme Court judicial selection process, make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, some city councils and county commissioners are literally taxing people out of their homes, they're simultaneously padding their bank balances. A recent study by the Kansas Policy Institute shows the state's 35 largest counties and the 25 largest cities are sitting on more than $5 billion in cash reserves as of the end of 2022. With us now to walk us through the data is Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. Dave, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thanks for having me, John.
So let's just look at, I'm up here in Topeka, but let's look at the nearest big county, which is Johnson, and of course my home, Sedgwick County. Those two are hoarding nearly $3 billion in cash. That's obscene.
Yeah, that's especially obscene to people who are being taxed out of their homes. This is spread out in both counties. It's spread out between the cities and the counties. But like in the case of Sedgwick County, the county itself had $320 million. The city of Wichita had $658 million.
Dave, I've had conversations with elected officials at both the city and county level who've repeatedly said they couldn't afford to cut the mill levy. They had to exceed revenue neutral because they just couldn't. There's no way to cut. There's nowhere to cut. They can't afford it. If they're sitting on those kinds of reserves, I mean, that's just obscene.
Well, here's the thing, John. Budgets are prepared by staff. They are not prepared by council. They are not prepared by county commissioners. In fact, in a lot of cases, city council and county commissioners can't get the information if they want, because then you'd ask some more questions.
Right.
So, and this happens with school districts as well. The budget gets presented, and it's in the opinion of the people who don't want to cut back on anything they're doing. They couldn't do anything to cut the mill levy. There are opportunities, but it's you're not going to know all of them until you start digging in and asking a lot of tough questions. We did this research on the cash reserves because that buys you time. Obviously, if you spend it once, it's gone. But it buys you time to go in and do the hard research. And that's not going to happen unless you have city council, the majority. You need the majority of city council, the majority of county commissions and school boards to insist. They're going to have to vote, we're going to do this. You instruct the staff. In most cases, it's the other way around. The staff is leading the elected officials around.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, the city of Wichita, one of the major stories that's come out lately is how much of the budget shortfall they're facing. I've heard it's anywhere from, you know, $4 or $5 million up to $12 million or more. And yet they're still spending money on things like the $600,000 porta potties, millions in art, things like that. And yet they're sitting on hundreds of millions of dollars in extra revenue, reserves. Why? I mean, this is just, I guess it would make sense that the elected officials don't know about this, but then that's, it's almost negligence on the part of staff that they're, I mean, what are they getting out of it? It begs the question, are they corrupt or are they just trying to protect, who are they trying to protect by not disclosing this?
You know, John, I don't think it's corruption, but I think it's human nature. When you work in government, there's no accountability. I mean, if bad things happen, if you overspend, nothing happens.
Right, yeah.
And so, and it's the easiest money to spend is someone else's.
Yeah.
There, you know, it is just human nature. They want to do what they want to do. And they, you know, probably think they're doing the right thing. But nobody is asking any questions. The time isn't, you know, I mean, think about when you have a chance to review a budget. It's out in public. And a staff is really good at asking, you know, if you ask a question, they can make you look silly. And that's all designed to keep you from asking the next question. I've
right.
seen it happen time and time and time again. At like Overland Park, you go to the revenue neutral meeting. I've seen it so many times at Johnson County, at school boards. It's just they don't know what they don't know, and they don't want to be embarrassed, so they just rubber stamp the budgets.
We're talking with Dave Traubert from the Kansas Policy Institute. You mentioned school districts. Again, according to this study, school districts have nearly $3 billion in cash reserves. Since we're talking, you know, we're South Central Station, how does school districts like USD 259 or Goddard or Derby, those other local taxing authorities, how do those school districts, I mean, what kind of reserves are they sitting on?
Well, first of all, the $3 billion that schools have statewide includes money that they have set aside for debt payment, and that can't be moved or used for anything else.
Okay, that's fair.
They also have, it's about $600 million set aside for capital outlay. Some of that can be used for operating expense. But there is $1.3 billion of operating reserves. That's not capital debt or even federal money. And here's the interesting thing. It went from about $470 million in 2005 to $1.3 billion. And what that means, it's just like your checkbook. If the balance is higher than it was some time ago, you took in more money than you spent. And so most of that $800 million increase for school districts is state and local tax dollars that were given to schools to educate kids, and instead they were used to increase bank balances.
And why? I mean, why aren't they spending that for, like you just said, why aren't they putting that in the classroom where it belongs? This explains why our achievement, our student assessment scores have plateaued or in many cases fallen over that same period of time.
Yeah. So, like in the case of USD 259, over the last 19 years, they've gone from $75 million to $186
million. And yet they just wanted another $450 million for a bond.
Yeah. Now, everybody needs reserves. Family, business, government entities, they need reserves. But when the key thing is when the balances keep growing, you're not spending everything you're taking in, and yet you want to tax people more. That is just immoral. It's not going to change until citizens insist that their elected representatives vote to have a thorough efficiency review of the entire enterprise.
Yeah, and I think it also has to change when legislators put caps on valuation increases and limit the overall tax increases without voter approval. I've always been a fan of a taxpayer bill of rights or some kind of a system that says you can't increase his taxes one dime without voter approval. And until we get into that kind of system, nothing's going to change.
Well, we have an interesting situation going on in the Kansas legislature right now. The revenue neutral system that was implemented in 2021 is really effective. It's arguably more effective than we thought it might be. We're up to 62% of all the entities in the local taxing authorities in Kansas are not exceeding revenue neutral this year. That's phenomenal. And the House of Representatives is determined to get rid of the revenue neutral system. And the rationale they're giving is this isn't fair to government, because government needs to be able to raise taxes more. Not that there's no limit on raising it under revenue neutral. You just have to be honest. Local governments don't want to be honest. That was the whole thing. That was the reason revenue neutral was put in place. And now the House of Representatives is determined twice. They have voted to get rid of revenue neutral.
Yeah, we had Representative Pat Proctor and the Speaker of the House on just a few minutes ago. We talked about that briefly. So it's interesting. I don't know where that bill will go, because Senator Erickson said the Senate's fairly opposed to it, so it'll be interesting what they ultimately come up with. Dave, I appreciate you joining us as always. If folks want to read more about this, this was one of the articles that I saw as well at the Sentinel website. It's sentinelksmo.org, correct?
That's it.
Appreciate you, my friend. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, John. Have a good night.
Well, you too, my friend. We'll take a quick break and pay a few bills, and then Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will share a new report that exposes how the Biden administration weaponized 98 federal agencies to, get this, censor conservatives. This is John Whitmer broadcasting live from Topeka. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. 316-869-1330 is the studio line. We'll be taking your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from our state capital here in Topeka. Thanks to our friends at Eck Insurance. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's not going to surprise anybody, won't come as a shock, but a new Media Research Center Free Speech America report reveals the Biden administration weaponized 98 federal agencies to censor conservative voices. According to the report, Biden and his auto pens coerced big tech platforms to silence his opponents, funded censorship organizations to cancel conservative voices, enlisted foreign agents to suppress conservative media, and weaponized the government to target their political opponents. Yeah, does this surprise anybody? With us now to walk us through their findings is Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Brother, call me shocked, or rather, don't call me shocked.
I mean, yeah, my friend, first of all, it's always a pleasure to be with you. And I love that my colleagues at Free Speech America in 43 pages were able to pull together everything that the administration was doing and put a number on it. I mean, some of these I had forgotten about, you know, like the very first one, like Andy Slavitt pressuring Amazon to ban books critical of the government's position on vaccination and COVID. Like, I had remembered that, but like,
right.
I was like, oh, right, that totally did happen. And then like some of the other things about the framework for controlling speech with the State Department and the Disinformation Index, those kind of things, and the Disinformation Governance Board with, I mean, how could we forget Nina Jankowicz, that crazy lady?
Right.
So some of those things were, that was totally right. But the thing that I always go back to, and I think that DOGE has the most effect on, is the fourth point in our report about grants. The American people, I mean, I think DOGE is kind of exposed that, but you and I and folks that are real political junkies really diving into the weeds have known about this for a while, how it, you know, this doesn't just happen at the federal level. This happens at the state level too. Grants go out for the craziest things. You know, when you think of grants, you think, oh, studies to like help figure out a cure for cancer or something like that. No. It's going out to all kinds of crazy things. And in this case, going out to NewsGuard and other media entities. Why? It just doesn't make any sense. It makes just as little sense as it did a story that I did when I was a MRC intern in 2013 about the National Science Foundation giving money to study why deported illegal immigrants turn to prostitution. I mean, our government spends money on all kinds of crazy things. And in this case, for this report, it's about censoring Americans' political opinions.
Again, this shouldn't surprise anybody, but to think that taxpayer money is being used to silence opposition, I mean, literally, this is like Mao. You know, this is the stuff that Stalin would have used, and yet this is the Democrats, the party of tolerance and the liberal progressiveness. They're supposed to be the ones that are free speech, and yet they're using taxpayer money to silence their opposition.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Disinformation Governance Board. But the other one that I thought was really interesting, again, the National Science Foundation, had to do with what we call the Convergence Accelerator. It sounds kind of innocuous, but it kind of talked about AI. It would give money to private research institutions to coordinate with the government about how to achieve better artificial intelligence. You're thinking, okay, that sounds great. But one of these things was part to actively target and delete speech, if they discriminated to favor certain ethnicities when determining which fact checker to use when programming the AI. And this is the key, I think, John. You know, if listeners take nothing else away from this, a lot of government grants and programs out of the Biden, Trump, maybe the first Trump administration, because people really weren't looking under the hood as much closely as they probably should have, and all the administrations before that, a lot of innocuous things had, you know, maniacal, for lack of a better term, implications.
Right.
And yes, while you do want there to not be a wild, wild west, and you want, obviously, America to be number one when it comes to artificial intelligence, we don't also want to have the government where it control its partners with AI platforms to control speech. And
exactly.
I think that's really the issue that we're running into here. When the Biden administration, people like Neera Tanden, who's now back running the Center for American Progress, were involved, you kind of have to say, okay, well, if somebody's like this, their name is on something, then talking about AI, well, that's not good.
We're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters, and again, from the article that I read, Merrick Garland's Department of Justice refused to prosecute any of the perpetrators in this stuff, and there's clear evidence that some of this, I mean, I'm not an attorney, I did sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but, I mean, is nothing here illegal in any of this, Curtis? Is there certainly nothing worth investigating here, or is it just swept under the rug and ignored?
Well, and I think the key is having to be able to show or find cases where people suffered harm. You know, unfortunately,
right.
if it wasn't put into action, you know, some of this was hypothetical. And in that case, it's incumbent upon the current administration to put a stop to these things. Whereas, you know, if we're talking about, you know, things that actually did happen in regards to COVID, and some of those things have worked their way through the courts, maybe not turned out the way we wanted it to, the reality is it's about laying the groundwork, you know.
So what does then need to be done to, for lack of a better phrase, restore the freedom of speech? I mean, is the administration at least taking steps to fix these things, put them, you know, eliminate them?
Yeah, I mean, the team there, my colleague said that President Trump's executive order, restoring freedom of speech and ending censorship, was a good start. And they suggest remove censors from government. Such as the head of the National Science Foundation, just fire these people. you know, and ban groups like Ad Fontes and the Poynter Institute, which is in charge of a lot of fact-checking groups. And the Poynter Institute, folks, is one of those pious journalism, you know, outfit.
Watchdogs.
Watchdogs, but it's really journalists, you know, moving from taking money in the one pocket, putting it in the other pocket. Whereas, like, people like us, Newsbusters, the MRC, we actually aren't taking money from any of them. So we're actually watchdogs, because that's kind of the way watchdogs should actually work, where you're not taking money from news outlets.
The people you're theoretically watching over, yeah.
Yeah. And I think we cited legislation from Congresswoman Harriet Hegman standing to challenge Government Censorship Act to create new privacy rights for those who claim to have been victims of government censorship to seek remedy with the government. Of course, Congresswoman Hegman was the target this past week of, you know, a mob of liberal crazies calling to deport Elon Musk and all kinds of other crazy things. And, you know, it's totally real, though. It shows that Wyoming is totally against her. All right.
Right, okay, which I do think it's interesting. I saw that clip where they were saying that they should deport Elon Musk, and I thought the left was against forced deportations, but go figure. Curtis, if folks want to connect with you, they can find you guys at newsbusters.org, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And just real quick, another study, folks, check out how Wikipedia portrayed key administration officials before and after Trump nominated them. The brother of one of the many brothers of Mary Margaret Olhan, Tom Olhan, did this for us last week. It is remarkable, the shenanigans that were going on with Wikipedia between all these cabinet officials. Fortunately, they were confirmed.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, brother. You guys always bring us good data, and I'm sure we'll have you on again soon, my friend.
Carry on, my friend.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We're broadcasting live from your state capital right here in Topeka, thanks to our friends at Eck Agency. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, broadcasting live from Topeka. Thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. If you're looking for any of your, need to fill any of your insurance needs, reach out to my friends at Eck Insurance. And of course, don't forget about if you're looking to get involved, want to get involved in a campaign, want to help out, want to help educate voters, just reach out to my friends at Americans for Prosperity. They literally, you have the power to change the trajectory of our city, our county, and our state for that matter. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. And of course, while you're online, you can like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the updates on the show. But this has been a great show. It's gone by so fast. By the way, I also want to say hello to my wife, who's at home with our three dogs. The only downside about being up here is she has to dog sit. So I want to thank her for having to dog sit while I'm out of town. We have a new puppy, and so she has to dog sit. And I say new, he's a beast. He's a boxer Great Dane mix, and he's like 60 pounds for a puppy. He's huge. So I feel for her. So, you know, it's been a great show. We're just absolutely, this has been going, I can hardly believe we only got 9 minutes left or 7 minutes left. So, interesting, Phil. I don't know if you had a chance to watch any of the Wichita City Council stuff this week, but it's been interesting. I hope that they're finally able to move on from some of the nonsense that they got into and actually get some of their work done.
I am,
but,
too.
But, you know, it's just been crazy with the stuff that they got distracted with this week.
Well, it's just... you just shake your head.
Ironically, I have a former city council member who just walked into the room. So,
well, and maybe
an
they have an
friend
opinion
of mine. It depends. If he wants to come on the air, I'll put him on the air. You want to come on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Okay. So this is our former city councilman, former state senator, Michael O'Donnell. Let me ask you, Michael, what you think about the attacks on Lily Wu for doing what she did, or rather not doing what she did. Because my monologue tonight was about the nonsense, the non-story about her not wanting to sign that proclamation.
Right. Well, I just think that you need to play the same game, and she should have had a, you know, heterosexual day of visibility or something, and just you know,
MAGA
just,
day,
right? Exactly, because you know they have every right to ask for that proclamation, and it's the same feeling I had about the Satanic Mass up here.
Yeah,
a free speech deal. We need to have a religious mass at the exact same time. And fight it that way.
I mean, you were a city council member. I'm sure those proclamations. Sure. First off, I think you guys. You guys. You're not a city council member anymore.
Right.
They do too many of those things.
Yeah, they do.
But she has a First Amendment right not to sign that, not to be a part of it. And the attacks that are coming, ironically or not ironically, from Brandon Whipple of all people. But the attacks on her, it's just so outrageous and so obviously what they are. It's just naked hate and partisanship.
Well, but you have to. Like I said, you have to expose it. So there should have been a different one that you should have seen what the liberals would do for a different type.
So because I suggested that they do honoring Donald Trump's 100 days in office and see how they react.
Sure. I think you just have to call them out and see if they want to play that game. So, but now, I think Lily could have handled it differently, though, because it definitely has just prolonged the cycle, because then she talked about, oh, I don't want to divide the transgender community was her response to that. Like, what? Well, I just think it's been mismanaged.
Yeah, I could see that, the messaging on it.
Because I don't know why she said now she's I'm not going to be part of dividing the transgender community. I'm so confused.
Or segregating them out from the rest of the LGBT, the alphabet. Yeah she should have just said.
So, yeah, say I don't want to do it.
Pandering.
Well, because J.B. Johnson, I think, his response was, you know, it was a moral, you know.
Right.
He was against it on the moral issue and call it good. And nobody's attacked him. For it.
No, and nobody attacked the only openly gay member of the who also didn't support it. You know, it's the whole thing. Again,
it's a distraction.
It's
unnecessary.
You got potholes to fill. You got taxes to take care of. You got spending issues.
But like I said, it reminded me right now we're dealing with that in Topeka, the Satanic Mass and all the hullabaloo around that. Because it's, once again, it's a free speech issue. And so I just thought, you know, we need to have the Catholic Church out here doing their own Mass at the exact same time and praying over it.
Yeah.
Because those, you know, those Satanists, they can go do whatever they want. You know, we can't stop them. You're not going to jail these people or fine them. So just have something counter it. And I think that's what should have happened with this transgender day. Just have a countering resolution.
I do think it's interesting on that Satanic Mass that, you know, Laura Kelly was, I think she was kind of pressured into kicking them out of the rotunda. But if you think about it, she also, like, when the KFL wanted to come do their March for Life, she wouldn't let them be in the building either.
Right.
And yet she originally was going to allow the Satanic Mass to be in the building.
I know.
It does show her inclination. I don't think she'd have done anything without the Black Mass until she was basically forced to do something about it.
Well, and I think once people understood the Black Mass had to do with stolen artifacts or you know,
the Eucharist.
So I think once people realize, oh, there was potential crimes involved, we probably shouldn't have the governor endorsing that, signing on to it and allowing it to be outside, because I've never studied what a Black Mass was.
Hadn't either. It's the whole notion of a Satan and sanctifying or desanctifying or whatever they're doing. I mean, I'm not a Satanist, so I don't know whether rituals, but I still think, why would you even indulge this? Why wouldn't you just say no and be gone? Would it be done with?
Well, once again, you go do it outside on you know, the lawn, whatever. You know, it's public property out there, but it was to disrupt and cause issues. I think it's more game for them than anything.
Oh, I think you're right. They want attention.
Because then they came back and they said, oh, we didn't steal any relic or whatever.
Right, we bought it on Amazon.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So even they backed off once you started pressuring them. So we're just giving too much oxygen to these things, John, whether it's the Transgender Day, whether it's the Satanic Mass. It's like, why are we giving so much oxygen to this? You know, we need to focus on other stuff.
Yes.
And just let people do what they want. And because it is, it's a free speech issue on both of those issues, in my opinion. It's like, okay, if you want to go celebrate transgenderism, if you want to go celebrate, you know, the Black Mass, okay, you go and do that. And, you know,
people, but why are we giving it oxygen?
Why are we giving it oxygen?
Right. And that has been a lot of my things.
We're giving them everything they want
with the proclamation.
Because, look, you and I are studying what a Black Mass is.
Yes. Yes.
I'm thinking, why am I caring now?
Well, and I feel the same way. Like that proclamation.
Yes.
Why are we normalizing it? Why are we proclaiming it? Just let, if they want to be tranny, go be trans.
Right.
But why do we have to give them a day? I mean, shoot, veterans only get a day. They already get an entire month. So, folks, I appreciate you. Thank you again for joining us this evening. We have a great show planned for you next Sunday. I'll be back in studio. Thanks again for my friends at Eck Insurance for sending us up here on the road to Topeka. In the meantime, have a great week and carry on, fellow deplorables.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.